Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Good morning, 8:30 on Wall Street. I'm Michael McKee along with Tom Keene. Economic indicators brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network. When it's time to change the conversation, talk with a broker-dealer RIA that's ready to listen. Call 866-462-3638 or visit commonwealth.com to learn more. No numbers until 10 o'clock this morning. We get existing home sales. They're forecast to be up 1.3% to a 5.4 million annual rate. We shall see. Interesting question about how home sales and other interest rate sensitive purchases will be affected if the Fed does indeed raise rates in June. They raised rates in December, and a week or so ago, 30-year fixed rate mortgage hit like an all-time low or something like that. So, it's not always the follow through that you think.
Yeah.
To talk about more about what the Fed may do and what they may think and how they're talking about it, we need to turn, Tom, to the man, the expert, Vince Reinhardt. He's chief economist for Standish now, but he was the man at the Fed, the head of the monetary policy division for a long time. He was in the room when they made lots of decisions and wrote lots of statements, and he joins us now. Good morning, Vince. Gotta wonder, when you see the market reaction to the April statement, and then you see them come out with a set of minutes, which they can sort of write those in any way they want, as they did this week. Do they have a problem communicating with the markets?
I think they always have a problem communicating with the markets. And I would note in the minutes, they said that twice. And for this group of people, the solution to a problem in communicating is actually to talk more, which isn't always necessarily the case. There's a couple problems. Number one is, market participants don't really believe you until you start doing it. We saw the outsized reaction in December exactly to that. And it's not until they start raising rates that you're going to see the Eurodollar curve accepting more of the Fed's rate guidance.
They said it a couple times in the minutes, but they said the markets aren't getting what we're saying. Do they recognize that it could be that they're not saying what they really mean?
Well, they could also be wrong. I think the way to look at market pricing right now is that investors don't believe the Fed will tighten as much as their guidance, or that there'll be enough other tightening financial conditions, say because the dollar appreciates and equity prices fall, that the Fed won't follow through. And that's the major disconnect. But it's been a disconnect as long as Janet Yellen's tenure. Eurodollar curve has always been below the dot guidance in the summary of economic projections.
Vince, good morning and congratulations on working with Bank of New York Mellon and their Standish Air effort. I think of Edward Ladd and the history of Standish Air and Wood is an investment house. And one of their wise men of years ago told me once over a beverage of my choice that the CFA designation is a rite of passage. That is something that has stayed with me forever. I would suggest the good economists at the Fed right now are going through a rite of passage. They are desperately trying to get back to orthodox theory. Is it gone forever? Or the world you knew with Alan Greenspan? Or do we have an ability to get back to economics as normal?
I think ultimately we'll be able to renormalize interest rates. It's going to be at a lower level of rates. And in some sense, here's the thing everybody's got to wrap their head around. That is, the economy's rate of growth of potential output is slower than it's been in our generation. Demographics are such that the population is getting older and the population is growing more slowly. For some reason, we're not adding to output per hour the way we used to.
Mm-hmm.
And that implies that 1.5% real GDP growth in any given quarter might be about the best we can do. And indeed, we're going to get to a point where on the first Friday of a month when the non-farm payrolls come out and it prints with 100,000, that's a good number. We're growing more slowly, and there's a limit to what a central bank can do. It doesn't make extra output. It can create extra aggregate demand so that we use that output.
So then how do you respond to the humbled inflationistas?
In my experience, inflationistas don't get humbled very easily. It's always working around the next corner. What I would say is, look, it's a big world. It's more globalized. It implies it's tougher to generate domestic inflation pressures if it means you're moving your price level differently than your major trading partners. And if one of your most important, most rapidly growing trading partner is a source of cost compression, i.e. China, it can be hard to generate inflation. But I'm confident if the central bank tries hard enough, eventually they'll do it. The experience of the Bank of Japan notwithstanding.
Mike, you want to jump in here?
Well, just very quickly, are you sympathetic to Jeff Lacker's view that the dynamics have changed and now we are
There you go, stirring things up, young McKee.
Going to see, you only got about 30 seconds, going to see inflation based on diminishing slack.
Yes, I think we see a little bit of wage pressures. It is slow. It is gradual. They've got enough time. And, you know, their plan is to renormalize rates at the slowest pace in recorded time, a half point a year. So they're giving themselves time. In the act of tightening, they will be conveying to markets that they're confident enough that the economy will can bear that removal of policy accommodation. It can all work.
Vince Reinhardt, with Standish, BNY Mellon Standish with us this morning. We're up 4, Dow futures up 38, the yen 110.33, a stronger dollar this week.
All right, let's check in with Michael Barr and get the latest world and national headlines brought to you by Volvo Cars White Plains. Visit VolvoCarsWhitePlains.com.
Mike, Tom, thank you very much. The search for missing Egypt Air Flight 804 is concentrated around 180 miles north of the port city of Alexandria, an area where debris and personal belongings were spotted today. A Greek official says a body part was also spotted. Authorities say a team of Egyptian investigators, along with French and British investigators, will inspect what the army has found. The issue of abortion is front and center in the state of Oklahoma. A bill passed by the state legislature punishes any doctor who performs an abortion in Oklahoma with a felony. Republican State Senator Nathan Dom says the bill is aimed at overturning the 1973 Roe v. Wade Supreme Court ruling.
We've had a lot of support. You know, over 1,000 pastors of churches across Oklahoma have come in support of this, as well as 30,000 individual citizens.
Kelly Badden is with the Center for Reproductive Rights.
It is a first-of-its-kind bill that is not only outrageous and unconstitutional, but also insulting to women and doctors alike.
A handful of Republicans joined Democrats in voting against the measure. No word yet if Republican Governor Mary Fallon will sign it. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus around the world. I'm Michael Barr. Mike, Tom.
Time now for the Land Rover Parsippany Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Bushka. Rob.
Good morning, Mike and Tom. Joe Girardi's new plan, let your starter go sixth, then leave it up to the bullpen. So far, so good. It's worked twice in as many days. Yankees took the series opener 4-1 in Oakland. Ivan Nova threw just 62 pitches. 70% were for strikes. Yet Girardi turned it over to the trio of Dellin Betances, Andrew Miller, and Aroldis Chapman. They got it done. It's homecoming tonight for Bay Area native C.C. Sabathia when he battles Sonny Gray. First pitch is at 9:35. To the Mets, Matt Harvey's having an off year, to say the least. But one thing, he remains professional despite getting knocked out in the third inning in a 9-1 loss to the Nationals.
My job to go out there and keep working and try and figure this thing out. And that's, you know, that's all I'm going to do is start over tomorrow, keep working hard, and do everything I can to fix this.
Harvey is 3-6 this year. Nats, they took the series, outscoring New York 16-4. Homestand continues as Stephen Matz squares off with the Brewers' Willy Peralta. NBA Eastern Conference Finals, LeBron James triple-double, more than enough. The Cavs took down the Raptors 108-89 for a commanding 2-0 lead. Four starters scored in double figures for Cleveland. They moved to 10-0 this postseason, allowing more than 100 points only twice, and LeBron passes some guy named Shaquille O'Neal for fourth all-time in postseason scoring. In NHL playoffs, San Jose's Martin Jones with back-to-back shutouts of St. Louis. That's putting the Sharks up 2-1 out west tonight. Eastern Conference Finals Game 4 from Tampa. Pittsburgh leads it 2-1. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Mike and Tom?
Yeah, thanks so much. Greatly appreciate that. I tell you, Michael, basketball, which we don't talk nearly enough about, Golden State Cleveland would be like it would be, that's got to be nirvana for everybody involved. It's just like going back 10 years, I would say.
I'm
20
sticking
years.
With hockey, but.
No, I know. You know, you only get so much time to do this, and you and I both happen to like hockey. But I'm sorry, Golden State Cleveland was just, wow. Lights out, wow. Futures up 5. That was great with Vincent Reinhardt of Standards. Thank you so much for that. Futures up 5. From New York, this is Bloomberg Surveillance.
The Sports Report was brought to you by Land Rover Parsippany. The spring sales event is happening now. Visit LandRoverParsippany.com. Land Rover. Above and beyond.